Of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We are here at 6:60 a.m. or 97.5 on the FM dial, and you can also live stream us at kfar.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your guest host, Joni Skillbred, filling in for David Prus, who is off the air while he campaigns for the city mayor's seat. If you would like to call in, you can do so by dialing 458-TALK or 458-8255, and we will try to get to your call. Today is Wednesday, so our topic will be something historical, and we have a great show lined up for you this morning. Today we have two of my favorite sisters, Debbie Ordahl and Amy Houchins, and our topic is going to be the Kitty Hensley House. Welcome, ladies.
Morning.
Morning.
When I say my favorite sisters, I'm referring to their members of the Fairbanks Women's Igloo of the Pioneers of Alaska. And it sure is a pleasure to get to have both of you in here today. And we're going to talk about the Kitty Hensley House and Museum. And so maybe we'll start with, what is the Kitty Hensley House and Museum?
Well, the Kitty Hensley House is itself a museum. It's a one-of-a-kind house that was built in the early 1900s, and it was moved to Pioneer Park in 1966, and there are no other structures like it in Fairbanks.
And so we'll start with, who was Kitty Hensley?
Actually, she was someone who followed Gold Rush, ended up in Dawson, and was married at the time, and she ended up getting her husband's riverboat, and she and the captain on the riverboat and his crew then came to Fairbanks in the early 1900s, and she ended up having the business here in town, which of course was run by the men because women were bad luck to be on ships.
So which boat did she have?
The Florence S.
Oh!
So it was a riverboat that went up and down the Chena and Tanana rivers, and they took people and supplies and dropped them off at the new gold camps that sprung up as people kept finding gold. They didn't want to go away from their stake, so the riverboat brought up food, mining supplies, clothing, additional personnel.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that was a smaller boat, so it could navigate some of the smaller rivers. I think that one went to Iditarod quite a bit, too.
Yeah, it went up to the town of Chena. It was one of its popular spots. But, yeah, they went as far up the river as they possibly could.
Yeah, that's amazing. So she was the full owner or part owner?
She was the full owner, but at times she sold parts of it. Captain Smythe owned part of the boat, then Captain Smythe sold his interest, and then that loan fell through and he got it back. So, but she was the main owner of the boat.
So Smythe, is that Smythe Street?
Yes.
Is that named after him?
Yes, Captain E.J. Smythe.
Oh yeah, it's full of history. So Kitty lived here, and she lived here, she came here in 1904,
the records,
real,
you know.
Early?
Yes, very early in Fairbanks.
And so she owned a riverboat, and is there anything else that she did here in Fairbanks? Did she have any children? Did she marry?
She was already married when she came, although her husband abandoned her. Mm-hmm. She had a daughter named Hazel. That traveled with her for, you know, several years. She would go up and down the river on the boat because it was her business and she wanted to keep an eye on it to make sure. The crew did get tired of having a woman on the boat, and at one time when the boat got damaged, it had to be rebuilt. And so Captain Smythe took some of those salvaged parts from that boat, and he remodeled her one bedroom, well, cabin. 16 by 20 cabin with no windows. And he used the salvaged lumber from the deck of the boat, and he built her a two-story house, a Queen Anne-style cottage house, which was and is the only one of that style in Fairbanks, with the gambrel roof and the pretty shingle work, and made it a one-of-a-kind house for her to make living on land a little more palatable, since she wasn't going to be on the boat anymore.
Right. She had a child with her, so it would be important to have a decent place to raise her little girl.
Right.
Yeah.
And in addition, when the boat wasn't running, she was also a baker. She would make up breads and pastries and all kinds of things to sell to the other people in Fairbanks, so she had an additional source of income when the boat wasn't running.
So did she do that out of her home, or did she go door to door, or do you know?
I was told she cooked from her home and went door to door after that to sell her goods.
Amazing. She was a hardworking woman. Yeah.
She was very independent and very, very ahead of her time, because back then a woman didn't own a boat. She didn't own a business. She didn't support herself. You were pretty much dependent on your husband. He told you what to do, how to do it. You comported yourself accordingly, and she broke that mold. She was mm-hmm. nothing like that.
I'm sure she didn't break that out of choice. I know that in those days, husbands would sometimes just abandon their wives, and those poor women, you know, they had to figure out another way to live, and they couldn't always get a divorce.
We've had some say that they tried to do research. There was never any record of a divorce. There was never any record of the man dying. Mm-hmm. He disappeared. He went off to find more gold. He abandoned her. Right.
Yes.
But I think also part of the interesting Kitty is there's so little information about her, but she was raised on a farm in Michigan. But when she turned 18, she wanted to go to California to follow the gold fields and all of that. So we really don't know what she did between those years until she showed up in Dawson and Skagway in like the 1980s or the early 1890s. Oh, wrong century.
Yes, and I know that she had a brother who was up here, and he died in the Princess Sophia wreck.
Right. She came from a large family back then. They always were on the farm. But, yeah, her one brother did placer mining down in southeast mm-hmm. Alaska, and then when he was finally going to come up here and visit her, the boat sank, and he died, and that was the end of that. None of her other family ever came to Fairbanks or Alaska at all. So she was, I think, pretty independent from the get-go. She wasn't going to be, I don't think she was going to follow the normal plan for most women with her life.
Yeah, unfortunately. And what about her daughter? What happened to her daughter?
Well, her daughter, Hazel, got picked up for shoplifting, essentially, petty larceny, when she was about 10 years old. Fairbanks was still new. They were just starting a juvenile court at that time, and she was the first case. They were very concerned about Hazel's upbringing because this was a single mother bringing up this mm-hmm. child. She had shoplifted, so clearly she was not getting good parental guidance. They didn't want to send her to a reformatory or something that would have her go the wrong direction. So with the backing of the women of Fairbanks, they decided to send her to a girls' school back in Ohio.
They took her away from her mother?
They took her away from her mother and sent her to Ohio. You know, back in, you know, 1916, 1917, you know, that
for was... For shoplifting?
Yes.
For shoplifting.
She never saw her daughter again.
Now, they communicated. They did, you know, get letters. They did have... we do have some copies of that, but Kitty never went to Ohio, and Hazel never came up here. Some of Kitty's brothers, who still lived in Michigan, mm-hmm. they did have contact with Hazel when she was older. But Hazel basically graduated from the school, moved to Chicago when she grew up, got married, had a family, and... by all reports, was very happy there.
Okay, well, Fairbanks will be taking a quick commercial break, and we will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! It's the Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Visit Frontier's extensive fishing department for conventional fly and saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Your store for the outdoors, Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Ricky Colpietro of KVAK Radio with an update on fishing in Valdez. There are a few reports of silvers being caught in the port, but most are starting to get picked up outside of Valdez towards Glacier Island. A lot of king salmon are being brought to port as well. In the Valdez Halibut Derby, the leading fish is a 170-pound halibut caught by Jeremy Smith of North Pole. Chris Mills of Melbourne, Florida is currently in second place overall with a 150-pound halibut, and Camille Mulcair of Fairbanks is hanging on to third place overall with a 149.8-pound flatfish she caught June 9th. Anglers are also hooking in the trophy-sized lingcod and rockfish. Susie Buck of Shade, Ohio, reeled in a trophy rockfish on July 29th. Buck reeled this fish from over 1,000 feet using an electric reel. The silver fishing should be excellent for the Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby August 13th. Valdez Fish Derbies will give cash and prizes to the women catching the three biggest fish. Registration is going on at the Valdez Prospector August 10th through the 13th. Derby anglers purchase a ticket for the regular derby in addition to the $20 fee for the women's derby, so they will be eligible for prizes in the regular derby as well as the women's derby. The women's derby grand prize is $1,000 cash, plus prospector prizes valued at $1,000. This year's Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby will feature a new Coho Cruise Night event that will have women roaming through town Friday night looking for dog tag numbers to win prizes.
Stop by Eagles Rest RV Park when visiting Valdez and we'll take care of everything. We mean it. In addition to our full-service RV sites, campground, and cabin rentals, we can book you on a fishing charter, cruise, or other excursion. The Eagles Rest ticket office is open to you, whether you stay with us or not. So make one stop at Eagles Rest RV Park and let us worry about the details.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Frontier Outfitters brings you the Valdez Fishing Report, helping you make your next fishing adventure a success. Rods to tackle, coolers to camping gear. It's your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with a high of 71. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 52. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Chance for isolated thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 75. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. This is Joni Skillbred, your guest host today for Problem Corner. And again, if you want to call in to our wonderful guests, Debbie Wardall and Amy Houchins, we're discussing the Kitty Hensley House and Museum. Our phone number is 907-458-TALK. And that is 907-458-8255. So, ladies, we were discussing the life of Kitty Hensley, which was no picnic here in early day Fairbanks. And I'm really impressed with her tenacity to be able to go through all of that. And we talked right before the break about how her daughter was taken from her because her daughter shoplifted. And she was deemed an unfit mother. And I'm quite sure that most kids in Fairbanks probably sticky-fingered something at one time or another.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the punishment was so incredibly over the top for what the crime was. And you know that part of that was a reflection on the type of lifestyle that Kitty Hensley had. That being a, divorced but not legally divorced, you're a business owner, you're taking care of yourself, you're raising your daughter the way you think she should be raised, And then you have all of these other women in the community being told that's not acceptable. That is not what ladies do. That's not how you are supposed to act.
Yes, and on her house, she had a little tiny 16 by 20 house with no windows, and that was deemed as unacceptable, but that was what she could afford.
Well, and even when Captain Smythe then remodeled that house and then made it this beautiful two-story, one-of-a-kind house in Fairbanks, then there was a certain amount of jealousy and envy, because why should she get this one of, you know, when it was done, it was one of the nicest houses in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
How dare this single mother have this, you know, beautiful home that she doesn't even appreciate? You know, because she was, she hoarded things, she kept things, and the winter when she fell on the ice and broke her hip, she's in the hospital, and her Pioneer sisters in Fairbanks decided they would go and clean her house for her, because she didn't do that properly either.
Pioneer sisters meaning members of the Pioneers of Alaska.
Pioneers of Alaska, because she was also a member of the Pioneers of Alaska. So,
she was our sister.
Yes.
Yes.
So they went to clean her house. Captain Smythe told them, she's not going to like that. You don't want to do that. So when Kitty found out about it, she checked herself out of the hospital, came home, you know, wouldn't let them come back in her house. And because of that, she was crippled for the rest of her life. So she had a deep distrust of her Pioneer sisters, because she had things hidden. And what somebody else thought was trash, whether or not it was trash in reality or it had hidden treasures in it, they were still her possessions, and it wasn't up to somebody else to decide what she should have.
You know, it's interesting. I've read that people who have a hoarding tendencies, you know, I mean like really hoarding, oftentimes those people, if you look at their past, they have experienced profound loss. And I think, you know, Kitty, from what you've said, really clearly reflects that. She lost her husband. She lost her daughter, you know, and she was in this, like, impossible situation where she could never succeed socially, ever.
No.
You know, she lost her social status. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that she could go through. And I remember seeing that after she broke her hip, she would push a baby buggy, because they didn't have walkers in those days, and she walked with a limp.
Mm-hmm.
And
people would, you know, at that time, kids are mean, but they call what they see. They would call her a witch. They would, you know, she wore dark clothes, so, you know, she was a bad person. She was a scary person, but she was just different, and she was so ostracized.
Mm-hmm.
For nothing, just for being able to be independent, take care of herself. They really
for not leaving, she stayed.
Right, she was not going to go anywhere. I mean, she spent the rest of her life here. She passed away here. She, for whatever reason, she loved it here. And people gossiped a lot about her relationship with Captain Smythe. But really, he was the only friend that she had in the community, and the community reinforced that by continually taking things away from her. And there, she really didn't have any other choice.
Yeah, that's an interesting bit of Fairbanks' history. So now let's go ahead and go back to the Kitty Hensley house. So, Amy, can you talk to us a little bit about the historical significance of Kitty's house? Why is it important?
It was the first one of the
Queen Anne
style.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I believe, it was also the first two-story house in Fairbanks. And I had read somewhere that someone tried imitating the style of the house, but it wasn't quite as grand as Kitty's. So it was show place from that way. And what kind of impressed me is the city back in 66 decided to save a lot of these old buildings rather than tear them down, which is what they talked about during the time. And since pioneers had donated land to the city for historical purposes, they moved many of these cabins out there to, ready to work on them. And they moved about roughly around 66 to work on them in 67. Mm-hmm. Of course, when the flood came, that kind of put a stop to that until they could fix the damage from the flood. But it still, they fixed it well enough that you could tell the grandeur of the house.
Yes, it was beautiful. And so where was the house originally?
I believe it was on 8th Avenue.
8th and Cowles, yeah.
And there was talk of two or three blocks of Fairbanks from, say, Cushman on down, mm-hmm. a few blocks and over. Most of the houses in there were of antique style were the ones that they moved away. So from that standpoint, these houses were there over 100 years ago, and they're still preserved pretty much in the same shape as close as we can get to what they were back then.
At Pioneer Park today, that's what comprises Gold Rush Town is what you're referring to.
Right.
Yes. So the Kitty Hensley House, it got moved to, in those days it wasn't Pioneer Park, it was called Alaska Land.
A67, then Alaska Land, right.
A67, yes. And so what were the early day operations of the house? You know, when it opened up there, what did they do?
I'm not sure exactly, but in the early days, it was the welcome center for Pioneer Park. So there were a lot of different women's organizations that manned the house, and they basically mm-hmm. gave out information about what all was in the park, all the history of the cabins, when tourist season was there, especially telling them all the other places in Fairbanks of historic interest that they might want to visit. So one of the things that people joke about is it was a welcome center. It was this warm place for everybody to come in and get a taste of Fairbanks, but that was so different from Kitty Hensley's personality. It didn't last, having all these different groups work in there. So I think about 1967, the Pioneers of Alaska, specifically the Women's Igloo, took over the manning of the Kitty Hensley House.
I think that would have been a little bit later than 67. It might have been around 1970.
It might have been. I think 67 might have been when it originally opened.
Well, that's when the flood hit.
Yeah.
Right. But we were... We were trying to get open, and then the flood mm-hmm, hit, right. And then it was cleanup time. And
I knew that after the flood, there was a lot of work that had to be done to the house, and I remember that Luella Hupprich was involved in that, and they had to do, you know, they put in new wallpaper and flooring and all of that. They did kind of a cosmetic cleanup, and, you know, so that was the first round of that was done. And has there been any other work done to the house?
About 4 or 5 years ago, we again changed wallpaper, mm-hmm. flooring. The staircase that Captain had put on was starting to shift away from the house, and we had voles coming in. So the stairs, not good. So they started realigning that, and there was some leakage where we've got some water problems coming in from the roof. The shingles are...
Shakes
are pretty old, and so we're working on trying to maybe replace the roof next as the main project, but the inside was fixed up rather nicely with period-appropriate type of finishings about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, wallpaper and flooring and paint and all of that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it did brighten it up. It was looking kind of dingy there.
Yeah, we'd like to do it on the second floor, but until we get the roof fixed, there's really no reason because... we do have some leaking problems with it.
Yes. And so when you did the cosmetic upgrade, you know, how was that paid for?
The Women Pioneers contributed the funds to do the upgrade to the house. And we had volunteers of the women and their spouses to do the carpentry and other work that needed to be done.
Okay, well, with that, Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick break for the Fox News, state news, weather, and some commercials, and we'll be back after those messages.
on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
An update on the president's COVID condition.
Dr. Kevin O'Connor says the president was examined following a light workout. The doctor says there is no fever, but a slight cough is lingering. That cough, O'Connor says, is less frequent than before. Other vital indicators, including temperature, blood pressure, and respiratory function among them, appear normal. Still, the president will continue his isolation and be examined daily.
Fox's Gernal Scott. The Senate votes today on Finland and Sweden's request to become members of NATO. The majority leader says U.S. security depends on it.
Finland's and Sweden's membership will strengthen NATO even further, and is all the more urgent given Russian aggression.
New York's Chuck Schumer. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that in response to declining numbers of 40 Mile and Nelchina caribou, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is taking a more conservative approach to both harvests this fall. Both herds were large in the recent past, allowing for ample hunting opportunities. However, last winter was tough on caribou, and 40 Mile and Nelchina herds suffered low productivity and high calf mortality. The 2022 quota for the 40 Mile caribou herd will be significantly lower than in the past years, Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced on Monday. The department set the quota at 900 bulls for the fall 40-mile caribou hunt, which will open August 10th. This is less than a quarter of the 2021 fall quota. Fish and Game announced reduced quotas for the Nelchina caribou herd this season. The bag limit is one bull caribou for the Unit 13 state-managed hunts. There will not be a non-resident draw hunt this year. The department's objective has now shifted to growing the herd, which is reflected in the fall quotas. The department believes the quotas for those areas will be met in less than a week, at which point then the hunts will be closed by emergency
order. Online at KFAR660.com.
Are you looking for healthy, youthful skin without the hassle of downtime? Solstice Aesthetics is proud to offer Secret Pro, a skin treatment combining two proven techniques to treat your fine lines, wrinkles, acne scars, pore sites, crepey skin, stretch marks, and sun damage. Treatment sites can include face, neck, décolleté, knees, or any other body areas. Call us to set up your consult and start looking younger. Call 907-456-6334. Ask for Kim Baird.
For you, the road is where you find it. Choose the tire that meets the demands of Alaska's snow, water, ice, and gravel year-round. Choose the Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service, and go where your imagination goes. AT Revo 3 never compromises its dominating off-road performance or its quietly controlled, civilized ride on the road. For your light truck, SUV, and CUV, ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3. GCR Tires and Service, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Pipe and Leaf Premium Alaskan Cannabis presents the Young Dubliners for a special Thursday, August 11th show at the Spur.
This is your L1 to my L1. Would you come to the Lexi's Tag?
It's been over 2 years since they've been back to Fairbanks. It's the Young Dubliners live. Get ready, Fairbanks, to dance with these Irish rockers.
But see Angela's bells or the Liffey swell. Bring out all the fog.
Tickets on sale now at Pipe and Leaf Premium Alaskan Cannabis or at aktickets.com. Limited amount of VIP tickets sold online. The absolute best Irish rock band you'll ever see. Experience the epic energy of Young Dubliners.
Plain and simple, these guys bring the house down.
The Young Dubliners for a special Thursday, August 11th show at the Spur.
A big man, big smile, half an education. And now he's out the door.
Brought to you by Pipe and Leaf Premium Alaskan Cannabis and the Spur.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. I'm Joni Skilbred, your guest host today, and my guests are the fabulous Debbie Ordahl and Amy Houchins. And we're talking about the Kitty Hensley House and Museum at Pioneer Park. If you have a question for my guests, we are at 907-458-TALK or 907-458-8255. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Hello.
It's been so interesting talking about the life of Kitty and her house. And, you know, she was a very well-known person in Fairbanks. Not always well known for all the usual reasons, but Fairbanks is full of all kinds of people and, you know, everything from eccentric to extremely eccentric. So let's talk a little bit about the house itself. So it's at Pioneer Park. And what would a person see if they went to visit the house?
Well, it's in Gold Rush Town, and we have furnishings, a lot of furnishings from the period. We don't have any of Kitty's specific furnishings. Those were sold in her estate when she passed on. But we have the older furniture, the older kitchen supplies, the old cook stove where you heated, you baked, you cooked, you did everything on it.
Oh, the kitchen's adorable.
The utensils that you used at that time, which I have to admit there are some I have seen in there that I do not know what they are. And I've asked people what they were, and we have different opinions on that. You've got the classic stairway with the sharp turn, the tall steps, the shallow steps, and low ceiling.
And it's very narrow.
It is very, well, Kitty was 4'10", so even when she was, you know, limping, it wasn't too challenging for her. But I think everybody has a grandmother, an aunt, somebody in their family with an old house that has one of these really narrow, very steep stairways that they remember climbing up. Because when we get visitors, the kids go to those stairs, they run up those stairs. The parents, they're holding on to the handrails, and they're going up one step at a time. But they go upstairs, they look at her bedroom. One of the really, really unique things about the house is when the captain remodeled it, he put a closet in her bedroom. And there's a window out the back, and then there's a window in the back of the closet that lines up with that window that goes outside. So when you open up the closet door, you're getting light from the front and the back. Because, right, no electricity back then.
Great idea.
I mean, we point that out to everybody. And I've only had a couple people ever say that they have seen that in other houses. But I'm going, I'm just amazed that anyone would even think of that back then.
Yeah. But I wonder if that was the only house in Fairbanks that had a window for in the closet.
I've never seen it. And, you know, and it's just, it's great because really, you know, let's face it, back then you didn't have a lot of clothes. So you stored, who knows, your winter gear. I don't know what all you'd put in your closet. Mm-hmm. But you never have enough light in a closet regardless. So right. This is lighting up the back, and then you've got the window in the front of the room to light up the front of it. It was just incredibly innovative for that time.
And as small as it was, you don't want to be walking in a room like that with a candle or whatever because everything was just stacked in there.
Oh, yeah, that would be dangerous.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you'd never want to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a bear upstairs for a while?
One of the Conway children had a bear that her dad had given her, and she sent it up to us. And it's over 70 years old, and we do still have that at the house as well. Didn't belong to Kitty, but it belonged to someone else who lived in the house, and it is definitely showing its age.
It's a rather large bear. We put it in, at one time, we put it in the bathtub. And people would go up and look at it, and I said, well, it needs a bath. She gave it to us when I think she hit her 70th birthday or something, said he misses his home, so she brought him back to us.
Aww.
He's a big bear. He's not a little cuddly bear. And so, but yeah, it's not pretty.
So after Kitty's death, then the house was a rental?
Well, it was sold at an estate sale, you know, because her heir was out of state. And the house sold for $550. And yes, the person who owned it, I can't remember if he lived in it and then rented it, but he had it for a couple of years and then it went to another people, and then I think the Conways bought it in about 1941, and they're the ones who gifted the house to the park in 1966. So
in the house, are there any artifacts that you do have on display in the house that did belong to Kitty?
Well, there's a little, when one of the families was doing renovations, they found in the wall some hidden things. Like they think one was a map that led to where she hid some of her treasures, but nobody could figure out where the map was aiming. Then there was a sock. There was a little container that someone said had gold nuggets in it. She'd hid these things in the wall, so no, because she didn't trust banks, and so she didn't want anyone else to find where her good things were. So a few things were found. But for the most part, we've got appropriate for the period type stuff. But most of her stuff, as we pointed out, was gone. But those things are in a little mantle where we have her picture with President Harding. And so they're all on display there.
Well, there is an autograph book, too.
There's an album that she has, but she's got only written in it once. And then there's a small thing that George, her husband, George Hensley, wrote in there. And they both talk about friendship and how special friendship is. But then there isn't anything else written in the book. So, you know, I have no idea.
We do have a couple of her pictures. Her high school picture, was it?
Well, it's a picture of her when she was 13, back on the farm.
Right.
You know, again, back then, we weren't taking pictures all the time. It was expensive. It was a very...
I've seen the one picture of her, and she was very pretty. She was a very attractive woman.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's hard to imagine what her life was like, because we don't do those things today. We're much more socially accepting and accommodating, and, you know, the world has changed, I think, very much for the better in that regard.
Well, think of them living in this tiny cabin, no windows. The kitchen was not attached. You cooked in a tent outside. Of course, you didn't have a bathroom in there. You didn't have running water. And to live with just those four walls around you and it's 60, 70 below, good grief.
And two of you in that small space.
Yeah, that would be quite a challenge. And at first she didn't even have windows. I can't imagine that.
No, it's the lack of windows. I mean, you really, one of the great things about living up here is having all that light come into your house. So having no windows, no window in the door, you know, it's like living in a cave.
And those windows are older than the house because they came from the ship, from the passenger cabins on the ship. So you've got the warped glass, which is really kind of cool.
So when you go in downstairs, what's downstairs? We described the kitchen and, you know, what's upstairs, but what is downstairs?
Well, one of the things that the captain did was he built her basically a little glass porch. He put a bump out that's all windows, just enough room for a chair by the fireplace, and she could sit there and enjoy the summer sunshine. She could enjoy the aurora. She could enjoy the snow in the winter. But she could also, for the first time, she could see her front door from the outside. And we've been told that in her older age, she took a lot of pride in the fact that she could sit at that chair, look at who's knocking on her door, and decide whether or not she really wanted to let you in or not. And she would just sit there and ignore you if she didn't want to let you in the house.
Wow. That must have been quite a treat for her.
I think it gave her at least a little feeling of control and self-satisfaction that it was all on her terms at that point.
Yes.
But she also, she had a piano in her living room.
Fireplace. There's a fireplace in there that's really pretty.
That came from the captain's quarters on the ship when the ship got in trouble, frozen in the ice, and it brought it into the house.
And there's stained glass.
That's all from the windows from the boat as
yes,
well. Yes.
Yes. It's quite. It's very cute.
It's a lovely house. You could live in that house today, if you know you put in running water and. But you know it is. It's enough room, it's sizable enough, it's sturdy enough, and it is still sound enough. Mm-hmm. You know, when they built houses back then, they built them to last. This was going to be passed down in your family.
It's still here?
It's still here, and it's almost 120 years old. Survived the 64 earthquake, survived the flood, you know.
Okay. And
it doesn't come any better than that.
Well, Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Alaskans can upgrade their first aid kit to include naloxone, a safe medication that can quickly reverse an opioid-related overdose and restore breathing within minutes. Naloxone saves lives and can be used by anyone to prevent overdose deaths caused by opioids, including fentanyl. Alaskans can request naloxone for free through Project Hope. Go to opioids.alaska.gov to find out how to get a free overdose rescue kit. This message brought to you by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
Winter time's almost here.
Yeah, and we want to get you pumped out.
Your septic system, that is. You need to call Nostar Honey Wagon with the big sexy truck.
Yeah, it's been a long year indoors without the flushing and what have you.
Your septic system looks wimpy and needs a good pumping out.
Let Nostar Honey Wagon do it. They are so professional.
Yeah, and affordable. They won't make you broke and junk.
Call Nostar Honey Wagon today. Let them pump you out.
Google them. They're on the interweb.
Or just call 888-8265.
That's 888-TANK.
Yeah.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today. Highs around 71. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for isolated storms. Highs level off around 75. Chance for scattered showers Friday and Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. This is your guest host, Joni Skilbred, in the studio with Debbie Ordahl and Amy Houchins from the Kitty Hensley House, located in Pioneer Park. And we've been talking about the life of Kitty and the history of her house and why, you know, it's important to Fairbanks. And so in this last quarter of the show, I wanted to kind of touch on the Kitty Hensley House as it operates today. So who is operating it? Who's behind the operations of it and the staffing of it?
Well, the Pioneers of Alaska Women's Igloo Number 8 basically has a Kitty Hensley board that runs the day-to-day Kitty House in the summer. We have volunteers that work at the house. We also have a lot of volunteers that make things for the house because we operate mm-hmm. on donations. We apply for grants. We don't have a steady source of funding. But as pioneers and as we age, those people that can make those handmade goods, there are fewer of them. But the ones that we have, you can't get anywhere else. They're very mm-hmm. unique. We have a lot of crocheters, knitters. We always have an annual raffle where we have a beautiful quilt made, and then we've had metal sculpture art.
That's a great raffle. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, because you're getting a ticket for $2 or three tickets for $5, and you've got a king-size quilt that you could win.
That Amy usually makes.
Amelia Houchins is the maker of many of the quilts, and definitely this year's quilt. We have a crocheted quilt this year. We have Tom
donated,
Lincoln.
The crocheted one was donated by Donna Carrere.
Yes. We have the fish metal sculpture by Tom Lincoln. And then I made a little wall hanging quilt, which is basically a depiction of the Kitty Hensley house. But they're all on display there. They're each unique. There will never be another one like them. We get so many comments from visitors and tourists that see them, and they just, you know, we go.
When is the drawing held?
It's held in October, October 3rd.
So there's still time. If somebody wants to get tickets, they could go to the Kitty Hensley house and get a ticket.
Absolutely.
Buy them.
Yes, absolutely. And both Amelia and myself carry tickets with us at all times, so we can always sell them to people.
Generally speaking, for the last several years, I've been making queen-size quilts. And this year, I was putting together scraps that I've been saving for at least 40 years. And I went to measure it before I put borders on it. And I thought, oh, damn, it's already bigger than my queen-size quilt at home. So I added borders and became king-size. So that's unique this year.
So for those of you that don't know Amy, Amy is a very prolific quilter. And I've seen these quilts over the years, and they are gorgeous.
Thank you.
And you are an amazingly talented woman.
Well, I've got knitting and crocheting stuff there too. So.
Yes.
Spare time.
And so there's sourdough.
There's sourdough starter there that, again, a pioneer sister has been making for over 30 years. And donating
so
for
So it's historic
house.
Sourdough.
It is very historic sourdough.
I think she had got it. It was several years old when she started making it. So, yeah, we've got the little kits that she has a recipe for making sourdough pancakes. But you can use the sourdough, develop it, and start making your own breads with it, too.
And we have the Golden Heart stickers.
We do have the Golden Heart stickers. I believe they're the only place in town that we can get them. And they started way back.
They started before 1916, and that was actually the most successful advertising campaign ever in the history of Fairbanks for promoting tourism to Fairbanks. And they're still being sold and used today.
Yep. We always sell some. You know, we have a stash available, so you can come by and get those as well.
So a Golden Heart sticker is a gold sticker. It's in the shape of a heart, and it says, Fairbanks, Alaska, there's a soft spot in it for you. And they're beautiful, and I always buy them. I put them on all my mail, you know, to friends. I always stick a Golden Heart sticker on my mail, unless it's to pay a bill.
Yeah.
But those are fabulous. And so the Women's Igloo, I believe, owns the dye to those. And the Kitty Hensley House is the only place that you can buy those.
Correct.
Great for Christmas cards.
Great, yes, great.
Absolutely great for Christmas cards.
Very unique, you know, seal that you can put on your cards.
But you would have to get them before Labor Day.
Yes, because, the 6th of September, we close for the season.
And how much are they?
There are 5 on a page, and they're $1.
Oh.
It is a
really
incredible
bargain.
Yep.
A bargain. Yep. Yes. Yes. And is there anything else that is in there that you wanted to mention?
About the special coming up.
Well, we're having Pioneer Park is having a special event coming up on August 13th. It's Fairbanks Day, and they're having a block party out at the park. And several of the different businesses and vendors will have pop-up tents. And at Kitty Hensley House, what we're going to have is a jar full of gold nuggets. And people will come by, our kind of gold nuggets, so not real. But they will come by and guess how many nuggets there are in the jar. And at the end of the day, we will find whoever is closest to that guess. And their prize will be a pan of homemade Pioneer cinnamon rolls.
Oh. I would come and make a guess for that. I'm going to have to come in.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No cost. We accept donations, of course. But, we're not, charging you to make a guess. We just want you to come by and have some fun and a good reason to walk through the park. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us have lived here a long time, and sometimes we just don't realize what a really fun experience it is to go through Pioneer Park.
Oh, yes. I love Gold Rush Town.
Well, one of my favorite things in the home is donated from one of the local hotels at that time. It's a bathtub. It has no drainage to it. So you think of it, you had to go haul the water, heat it on your wood stove, one bucket at a time, put it in there. Then you had to dump it out one bucket at a time.
I did that, yes.
It's not something you do every day.
It's a process.
Yeah. But when I show it off to people and say, see, there's no drain in there, and they're like, whoa.
Yes, it's very much a process, and you usually did it on Saturday because church was on Sunday.
That's right. We like showing it, especially to the younger teens and children, because they just can't imagine not being able to stand in that shower for as long as you want or until the hot water runs out. And the idea that it's this little amount of water, that if you had brothers and sisters, when you were done, it was their turn through the same water. They are just mortified that they would ever have to do that.
And don't forget that the water, there was no well. You couldn't turn on the tap. Most people's water in Fairbanks in those days was delivered. And a man would come and he would give you a couple buckets of water.
Yeah, it was.
And that had to last.
Yeah, water was a very important commodity, and you were very careful with how you used it.
Yes, it was. It really, really was. And so who are your docents? If somebody were to stop in there, who would they be seeing?
Well, we have several Pioneer Sisters that work there. We have Michelle Mert.
Yay, Michelle.
We have Mary Rafter, Mary Hendrickson, Roberta Greenlee, Cheryl Pearson, Janet Richardson, and I also work there one day a week.
Oh, my. You got quite a lineup.
We have a good variety of gals. All of them love to talk about Kitty. They'll also talk about Fairbanks. They'll talk about many things. You know, you can come by and have a nice chat and, you know, talk about Fairbanks, talk about the Kitty. We have a cookbook that we sell. We love to pull out the cookbook because it's not only the recipes, but it's the stories that are also in the cookbook that are just a lot of fun. And we do have our cookbooks on sale for the next couple weeks for $10 a book. So that is also another way that we raise funds.
I have one of those, and it's totally worth it. It's a bargain. You get a lot for that $10. And the recipes, I haven't made a bad one yet.
They're original. You see the ones that ask for lard rather than other sources. Yeah.
Yes. Pioneer recipes.
So we're winding down to our last 2 minutes. So is there anything else that you would like to say to, you know, that we didn't touch on? Or
we are open noon to 8, Tuesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got someone there. We usually try for 2 docents a day, kind of in 4-hour blocks. But and Debbie and I both stop in every day, and we'll help out, pick out whatever needs to be done. Or if you got too many people coming in, we've got two of us talking to you about the house and who, what, and where.
I've been in there before, and it can get kind of busy.
It is. It's small for having people come in, and once you start a conversation with this group, then this group has to wait. But most people, once they hear part of the story, then they want them to finish, and they go, okay, start again. I want to hear all of this. it's just it's a fascinating place. It's a fun place to visit. And I would just encourage people to spend some time, stop by, see what treasures we have here.
If you go to the park, take a minute and go in and say hi.
And being one of the first cabins around the corner when you come in the back way, we talk a lot about Fairbanks, and the Fairbanks bed tax has helped us with grants because of that. So
that's a wonderful program. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is. A very important program to Fairbanks. If you're listening today and you want to go in and say hello the next time you're in the area of Pioneer Park, be sure to mention that you heard it on KFAR and let them know that, you know, you heard it and you liked it and you came to check it out. So we're kind of in the wind down for the show here. And it has been absolutely fabulous talking to both of you.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed it. I've learned a bunch today that I didn't know. And I'm sure Fairbanks learned a lot, too. And I hope that they enjoyed it as well. So that is our show for today, Fairbanks. And you have a great day.
Stay tuned. Fox News is on the way on KFAR Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.